This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, Tuesday the 17th of August, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, last week, the outgoing Pariakatta National Government announced the launching of Perkuko, which is a three-year program that targets to reform and future-proof 6GLICs, which are government-linked investment companies. They are PNB, Khazanah, EPF, LTAT, LTH, and Co-op. Now, these companies known as GLICs and their entities govern around 1.7 trillion in assets under management, and they make up a quarter of the entire market capitalization in Bursa Malaysia. Now, some of the goals of Perkuko are to achieve a clearer mandate for each GLIC, to focus on developmental and catalytic investments, and to increase private sector participation and streamline the government's role. But what will happen now with the change in government? And how urgent and should these reforms continue? So for more clarity on this, we have Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi, economist, to give us his thoughts. Good morning, Doc. Now, how different is this Perkuko initiative as compared to previous GLIC reform initiatives?
The former GLIC transformation program under the Putrajaya GLC High Performance, I thought that was a good one that had the right time horizon. It was, 10 years? It involved the major GLIC, so-called, and it had a very clear, well-defined outcome. And it also actually introduced all those books that covered a broad range of important issues like governance, you know, CSR, capital adequacy, human capital management, board composition and stuff. So I thought that was clear. This one, I tried to read some of the documents and I thought it's still at about 10,000 feet. It hasn't come down to operationalizing and more clearly. Because I'm actually a bit confused in terms of how is this different and what's the motivation.
Many think that this was triggered by the Tabung Haji investigation. And is this the right approach to reform GLICs?
See, you just pointed out that it was probably motivated from a governance point of view. And you said Tabung Haji. If it's really a governance issue, then I think that this government has done a bad job in terms of governance, in terms of appointing, going against some of the things that was already decided, agreed to during the previous GLC transformation program in terms of board composition and governance and so on. But just to base it on that, right? If it's really motivated, the departure point is really Tabung Haji, then the real program should focus on the act, the statutes and the acts, parliamentary acts that govern these funds, right? Govern Tabung Haji, EPF, SOCSO, LTAT, Co-op, and so on. So why don't they should have set up perhaps a select committee, parliamentary select committee that conducts all kinds of hearings and look at the acts and look at why governance issues has lapsed in some instances and what could be done to the acts, to the acta in parliament. That would have been a more useful exercise in my view. Because I think right now it's a bit confused. SOCSO is not in there, HRDF is not in there, those are not maybe smaller money compared to the others, but what are we looking at? I don't think EPF has any problem, but EPF Act should be maybe strengthened, but EPF has no problem in the government. Tabung Haji has a problem. Co-op may have a problem. PNB so far is doing okay. So actually, I'm not so sure what this program is, especially in contrast to what the GLCT program was.
So, Doc, do you think the government should just stay out of these companies?
See, that's the thing, right? I mean, this is an opportunity to perhaps correct the former GLCT thing by not perpetuating, or at least by distinguishing between what is owned by government and what is oversight by government. I think some of these funds in the literature that was released yesterday, they use words like institutional funds. So basically, these are statutory funds. So these funds, I'm not government, right? They're not government funds. So they should behave in very clear ways. And it's already mandated and defined in their own respective acts. Okay, then you have the likes of Khazanah and MOF Inc. companies. Those are the ones whose behavior can be related can be included as part of what is the role of the government in business. But then as far as how APF behaves, how LTAT behaves, in the interest of their fund owners, their subscribers, that shouldn't be a government thingy, right? If anything, they should be shielded from being influenced by government, if at all, because they are not government money. See, I have this nagging suspicion because somehow the language that was used in the launch linked this whole GLIC thing to fiscal thing, to whatever that 6R thing that they were trying to do, that it is more motivated from the point of view that the Treasury doesn't have money now. So then the Treasury now has to take a broad so-called look at what money is available and how to mobilize this money towards achieving developmental objectives. That's a dangerous direction to go into, if that's really the motivation.
If we assume they're trying to have a clearer separation with these cliques, how can this be achieved?
I think there's just two buckets, right? The one bucket in the way that so-called GLIC has been defined. One bucket is actually the MOF Inc. companies, which includes Khazanah, actually. These are government-owned entities, right? And then you have the rest. The rest are statutory funds, EPF, PNB, LTAT, TH, and it is also includes SOXO in the HRDF. Now, these funds should be professionally managed, and they are in most instances, except for Tabung Haji in the past, they should discipline the market, right? They should act in the best interest of their depositors. In other words, they should reward performance and punish non-performance. That's how institutional investors should behave. But on the other hand, the likes of the MOF Inc. companies, for which there are quite a number, including Khazanah and the like, now those guys have to be properly defined. What is it? What is their role? What is their role in terms of in business? What is their role not to crowd out? And is there such a thing as crowd in private investment? So I think the focus should be on the governance of these funds, institutional funds, but then on the role of government in business vis-a-vis the MOF in companies. I think that should be the separation.
So do we need more clarity on the definitions of these strategic sectors as a result of the pandemic then?
See, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, who is to decide on this strategic thingy? You see, of course, government have their own views about what should be priorities areas. I think in terms of what government has tried to lead, we've had examples in the past that, you know, they're not really that good in trying to get into business using their own money. But the institutional investors are not government's money, so they should be left alone for the managers and the board to decide what is the best interest to invest in. Now, government, in terms of what the MOF Inc. companies and Khazanah and the like, now they can do, they can decide whatever it is, which are catalytic, which are strategic and so on. And they can do it because it's government's money. But they have to be subject to proper oversight because government money is actually your money and my money.
If you are the person in charge of this Perkukuh initiative, what would be your immediate priority?
Well, I should start with governance. I should remove all the politicians who have been appointed to the board. And then that's first. And then I'll form a parliamentary a committee that should conduct all the hearing, get all the different stakeholders and look at the respective acts and decide where should amendments be if necessary for the respective entities. And I would do a separate program for the reform of MOF Inc. companies, with the government-owned 100% companies, for which there are quite a number.
You know, some would say that putting politicians in could drive the companies to a less capitalistic approach and, you know, take a more rugged-first approach. You know, what's your opinion on this, though?
No, certainly for these so-called institutional investors, all these statutory funds, EPF, you know, Tabung Haji, LTAT, Co-op and so on, where the money's, who the money belongs to are clear. What is the purpose for which the money is being pooled together is clear. What are the objectives are clear in terms of growing it and giving out dividends. So the managers then will be guided by those purely in terms of returns, right? So there's no such thing as, you know, like, whatever. That's the role of government. What you just said just now is the role of government, not the role of all these private fund managers. I mean, non-public fund managers. Theirs is returns, right? The ones that I should be looking at, oh, maybe we should do something. I mean, that's use the budget, right? Use the development expenditure, use the annual budget. That's government's role.
With the latest political developments, what kind of impact do you foresee it will have on GLC reforms? And do you really expect new appointments at the helm or business as usual?
There will be changes, definitely. If there's government change, there will definitely be changes in terms of how GLC reforms will be done and whether or not the incumbents will be removed or new appointments being made. It depends on who is the Prime Minister and which party, I suppose, becomes the government. Even the PN government, the one that Mahyudin or Liat proposed the GLC transformation program. So I suppose there will be a transformation program. But how it's going to be done, the details, I think we just have to wait and see.
Thank you for your time. That was economist Dr. Nong Sari Radi giving us his views on the recent Perkuko package or Perkuko announcement that the government made. I don't know whether it's going to go ahead in exactly the same form. And of course, you know, every time there's a change of government, there are changes at GLICs and also GLCs. But today the internet is rather weird because even his last question sounded a bit off.
I guess it'd be hard to implement if there are no details. So if the Perkuko was laying out a broad intentions but didn't have a clear detailed plan, I guess it's not really going to happen then, in my view.
Well, I think it's much needed, if you ask me.
It is much needed.
There needs, and this is, has to be also at the GLCs and also at the GLICs. After all, they play very different roles. They should not be confused. They have different purposes. And I think that needs to be understood by government at the very onset. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.